Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages. It's the podcast where we read Pat Rothfuss's new novella, The Narrow Road Between Desires, for the first time, page by page, in front of a live studio audience.
Woo! Yay!
Wow. This is page 136. The moon? Maybe it's a bowl or horns? Since it's so thin, maybe it means something is about to end, like when the moon has almost gone away? Costrell's tone grew more confident as he continued. The piper isn't sleeping either. He touched the clay disc. The lamp is his. A lamp is what you use to find your way or read at night. Unlit, that means the piper's in the dark. That means he's lost or ignorant. The boy brought his finger back to the piper. The closed eye? He's blind. He's supposed to play for folk, make them dance to his tune. But he's the one dancing. Costrell was caught up enough that he laughed at this. He's dancing, but he's too blind to even know it. He pointed. The candle isn't lit either. So is he three times blind or wasted potential? Fire that's waiting? Costrell trailed off, tapping his lips. Bass was looking at the emeralds more intently now. What about the arch? He asked, something odd in his voice. Costrell didn't seem to notice. I don't know about that. It's canted, so maybe it's supposed to be a hole the piper might fall into? The boy thought a moment longer, then shrugged and rubbed his nose. My granddad used to say you shouldn't work so hard to make all the pieces fit. And that's the end of the page. I'm RJ.
I'm Amrita.
And?
And I'm John from Vintes. It's an extra chunky episode with four of us today.
Just cause.
Extra and chunky.
This is a fun page to do it because Costrell seems to be on to something even before Bass took note of it. I, while reading it, was like, is this supposed to be about Quoth or about Bast?
Yeah, he's on a roll here.
Yeah.
You know what's super interesting is that he says something that that was mentioned like the other episode about like Bass being asleep
exactly
or Bass being the dancer. Yeah.
He's supposed to play for folk, making them dance to his tune, but he's the one dancing. That's awesome.
And he's dancing, but he's too blind to even know it.
Which ties back into what Bass said about himself, that he would have to dance faster to stay ahead of Costrell and Emberly.
All together.
Yeah.
It does, and the fact that he had pipes earlier, like you said.
Which begs the question, who's making him dance?
I think that is yet to be determined. I think that could we say it's Reich?
I don't know because that part of, well, no, it's not really over yet, but that was such a momentary thing. Yeah. You know,
I would say it's more likely to be Costrell and Emberly.
Oh, you do?
But, well, yeah, more likely than Reich. I think it's possible there's some kind of outside force altogether if the piper is supposed to be Bast.
I
like that theory.
I'm thinking, what if it's meant to be Bast and Quoth?
What it makes me think is, like, it's Bast's own, like, desires are the tune that he's dancing.
That's
to.
A really interesting read.
He's not being the agent that he could be. Instead, he's just like twisting in the wind of all of the things that he's just being blown about by.
Mm-hmm. I like that. But I also like the Quoth idea that, you know, Quoth knows more about what Bass does in his free time than Bass thinks he knows, is my impression from their interactions in general.
Sure.
But I think also wider, hold on, I want to make sure I'm getting this out. I think also on a wider scale, in the frame narrative, there is a question to me at whether or not Quoth knows what Bast is doing behind his back, i.e. the soldiers, and i.e. trying to wake him up. I think this could be referencing Bast thinks that he is meddling in Quoth's life, but in fact, this is all by Quoth's design, you know, XYZ. Chronicler coming, all of that. I think that might be a bit too far of a stretch. But I do think that it could be Bast and Quoth. I feel like there's something I'm missing. So I'm gonna let y'all go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think that's a bit too far for me.
Sure.
I don't think it's all Quoth's design. I think he truly means to go off and hide from the world until his end.
For sure.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a hopeful that maybe he isn't as he hasn't given up as much as we think he has, and he's doing some machinations.
Well, like he's, you know, since we have the introduction from book three, like we know that he is trying to get at whatever is in the box. You know, the most speculation is this is what is missing from him that keeps him from being Quoth. In that sense, part of it is working, and he is, you know, trying to come back to himself, but.
Yeah,
I like that. It is
waking him up in some sense, but I think we're kind of told over and over again that this is a tragedy.
Right.
And this will not end well. And I think ultimately whatever he does, if he has some success in the end, he's not going to be better off.
He's certainly planning on dying. Right. He's certainly planning on being dead. But I want to point that I know people, and I think we've even talked about on this podcast, the possibility that the Waystone or something in the Waystone is like a trap for the Chandrian or the trap for his enemies. And that requires a great deal of forethought and planning ahead. If there's something in the Waystone, I mean, if Quoth all this time has been luring someone to him to defeat them or something, then he's really been in control.
I think that probably the pagers have talked about this, that the creation of this story in the form that Chronicler is writing down is like the masterstroke of Quoth, and that he's using that to somehow like create the story that needs to be true,
right,
in order to like set things right.
Right. A magic of writing things down.
Yeah, or something.
You know, I'm the idiot reader who refuses to accept that it's a tragedy, even though it's being like beaten in the of my head. I hold on to hope.
You're still hoping it's going to turn out okay.
It's just going to be so sad.
Honestly, I hope you're right. Yeah, I hope you're right.
I feel like no matter how many times it's said, I'll still wish for a happy ending, and then I'll be more sad when I get the sad ending. So I'm the ideal reader. It's going to punch me hard.
Aww. I hate to do this to you, but even without having read the third book, I don't know how Quoth makes it out of this alive.
No.
Like, I just don't. I don't think this is
the
kind of
book. You think he's going to die before the end of the book?
Or by the end of the book.
By the end of the book, but I think that it will. I think that he's going to die, but it will be Avara and Amuge for the greater good.
Yeah, I feel like.
Do you think it's going to be in like the epilogue?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I feel like Quoth dying won't hurt me as much as like if he ends up like accidentally killing someone like Auri or something. I know that's been thrown around, and I hate the people who suggest such stuff. And that would really hurt me.
Yeah,
that would be bad.
I'm pretty sure that like 100% he's going to accidentally kill like somebody who's really important to him. Like it's Ari or it's Sim. Or
I'm going to mute you, John.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad.
I like the theory.
Just stick your hand in the sand and don't listen.
I am going to be really equal to you every now and then because you might want to close. I like the theory that whoever cracked the stones in front of the Aeolian was actually Fella, because Quoth and Fella, you know, because she knows the name of stone, that they had to come to a confrontation over something. Oh,
that would be so horrible.
Possibly Simon.
Oh, my gosh.
I like...
Quoth coming magically to blows with Fella would be so heartbreaking.
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Like, it would be crazy.
I haven't thought about that before.
Doing a namer fight? That would be wild.
That feels like such a like asshole Rothfuss.
It's crazy, move. Ain't it?
That sounds like exactly the kind of thing he would do to like break your heart in this story. Yeah.
I'm going to make a note not to listen to this episode when it comes out. I'm going to send you my episode 136.
There you go.
I'm going to send you my favorite post. It's called
"Oh my God,
proof Ari kills everyone in the end. Here's why."
Okay. That just sounds, I mean, I won't believe that. So that sounds fine.
No, I
just made that one up. I was trying to think of something more horrible, but I couldn't.
RJ, do you like torture kittens in your free time or something? What are you?
Puppies, but yeah. Okay.
Shouldn't have asked.
No. Just some mild torture.
Purebred torture. Labradoodle puppy. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll see what other defenseless fuzzy beings RJ will be menacing on tomorrow's narrow page.
Bring me their heads.